Previously on Thomas and the Bible, Job says wealth is for nothing. He overemphasizes that there's wisdom you cannot buy about God. Job has a butter fetish. People who are lowlifes find Job more of a lowlife than them. Job still isn't convinced he's a sinner, and one of the new advisors tells the other advisors that he's disappointed that they weren't able to prove to Job that he was indeed a sinner, with a Thomas Yawn count of 3.
Hey guys, and Harley was pretty bored with the last episode, don't blame him, but hopefully it provided a few laughs along the way. Oh yeah, good stuff. Okay, so, let's see, nothing much to say. Continue to check out Atheistically Speaking, tearing up the charts. No, it's doing well. What else? Yeah, that's about it. Please continue to write in the iTunes reviews for Atheistically Speaking. I really appreciate that. It's something that helps a lot. I know you guys are in, really want some fascinating microphone talk. It turns out, I think they sent me a bad cloud lifter, which is something that boosts the mic gain before going to the preamp, because the dynamic mic I got is so quiet that it's too quiet. So that's the thing the guy sold me on. He said it would be great, and he gave it to me for cheap. And the one they sent me is apparently broken. So that's what's creating that hiss. So hopefully they're sending me a new one. So that should be cool. Maybe I'll get my new mic going. As always, if you feel so inclined, please donate to offset some of these audio costs. That's very helpful. Okay, let's go with Job 33 through 38 today. 33 through 38, yep. And then, one more quick thing. My schedule is going to be a lot more difficult now because I'm actually in a theater production now. But I am absolutely committed to keeping up the pace. It might just be a little more erratic. This episode should have been a couple days ago, and then I'm going to record another one tomorrow. So I'll keep up the pace, but it's not going to be, you know, right on the 3-day mark. I might, you know, might have to go 4 or 5 days and then do a couple. But I'm still keeping it up, guys. Look at me. This has been, what, a solid month or so? Yeah, just about exactly a month since I started this new pace. So there you go. It's pretty good. In that month, how many episodes did I get done? I got done 12, I think, 11. Give me a count, Excel. Come on. Oh, Excel for Max. 12, yeah. So in that, including this one, in that month, I got 12 episodes done. 12, you know, 30 divided by roughly 3 is roughly 12. So pretty good. A little more than 12. It's a little more frequently than every 3 episodes. So there you go. Okay, well, let's find out what the boring Bible has in store for us today. Wherefore, Job? Oh, yeah, okay, so they're just talking back and forth more. Oh, and this is still that one guy who, like, interjected and said, like, I can't believe you guys haven't convinced him how evil he probably is. Wherefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches, and hearken to all my words. Behold, now I have opened my mouth, my tongue hath spoken in my mouth. Yeah, it's good poetry there. My words shall be of the uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. If thou canst answer me, set thy words in order before me. Stand up. Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I am also formed out of the clay. Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee. Surely thou hast spoken mine hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy words, saying, I am clean, without transgression, I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasion against me. He counteth me for his enemy. He putteth my feet in the stocks. He marketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee, that God is greater than man. Yeah, okay, we get that. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. I gotta turn down my headphones. He is chastened also with pain upon his head, upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away, that it cannot be seen, and his bone... This is just boring. Didn't anyone just say, like, hey, man, this is boring. I'm bored by this. It's just not interesting at all. I don't know. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. Because it's like... We know what he's about to say. So he's saying something. Okay, I don't know what he's saying. I confess, I have no idea. No, he's saying this is what happens to people who go against God or some bullshit like that, that who cares. And so we know that. Within one sentence, we know whatever whoever's talking is saying. We know it. One sentence. And then it goes on for 12 sentences, 13 sentences. You know, it's like, oh, it's poetry. Yeah, poetry is just saying the same thing 100 times in a row. Slightly different ways. Like that's not good poetry, I don't think. I'll give you one or two times. I'll give you three times. But like 20 times in a row. I get it. It's not good. It's just not good. Maybe this is like early version of how pop songs have to be so repetitive to be catchy. Maybe people just found this catchy. They're like, oh yeah, yeah. Humming along with the theme of whatever each person is talking about. Ooh, catchy theme there. Then he is gracious, if there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to shew unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto them, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his faith with joy, his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with men, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Mark well, O Job, hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I will speak. If thou hast anything to say, answer me. Speak, for I desire to justify thee. If not, hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I shall teach thee wisdom. Furthermore, Elihu answered and said, hear my words, O ye wise men, and give ear unto me, ye that have knowledge. For the ear trieth words as the mouth tasteth meat. Let us choose to us judgment. Let us know among ourselves what is good. For Job hath said, I am righteous. And God hath taken away my judgment. Should I lie against my right? My wound is incurable without transgression. What man is like Job, who drinketh up scorning like water, which goeth in company with the workers of iniquity, and walketh with wicked men? For he hath said, it probably go, I'm pretty tired today. This could be ugly. This could get ugly fast. He hath said, it profiteth a man nothing that he should delight himself with God. Therefore, hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. For the work of a man shall he render unto him, and cause every man to find according to his ways. Yea, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. Who hath given him a charge over the earth, or who hath disposed the whole world? If he set his heart upon man, if he gather unto himself his... So, this all just sounds so pointless, because it's like everyone essentially is arguing the same thing, pretty much, except that Job's saying he's innocent. But really, the theme of everything is like, well, God's so powerful, you just can't know. You just can't know. You just don't know. He's too powerful. How dare you even think, you know, you can't. Yeah, it's just so pointless. It's like, okay, he's too powerful. So what? So just go on with whatever. Like, the part that they miss, because I think their concept of God back then was so different than people's now. The part that they miss is like, well, if he's so powerful, why would you need to worship him? Why would you need to give him anything? Why would he need anything? I think religious people nowadays don't have that feeling as much. Like, I think they have more of a, oh, God's mysterious, and you know, we should pray and try to live good lives. But they don't quite have, some people do, but they don't quite have as much the feeling of, I need to sacrifice for him, I need to give him things, I need to praise him. I don't know, maybe they do. It's hard to say. But it's definitely less than back then, when back then it was like, you literally just have to give him all this crap. Like, I need to kill animals for him, I need to constantly be praising him, I need to do all this stuff. Because they had such a more childish notion of it. Like, oh, here's this more powerful being, so I need to give him all this stuff, like pay tribute, almost like a king or whatever. And the part they miss with all this, as fantastic as all this philosophizing is why if he's this powerful, why does he need anything from us? Why would he bother creating us? It's so pointless. Which is why it's hard to, I can't really engage this reasoning on its own level, because it doesn't even make, it's so hard to even think of for me. But I mean, I'll try. But it's like, you have to have the assumption that God needs something from you, and he needs to be praised all the time. Otherwise, none of this makes sense. If we took this writing from the point of view that God is just all powerful, like literally all powerful, then the only thing you could say is that, yes, whatever happens, there's some reason for it. Or like people do nowadays, well, free will, therefore all this bad stuff happens, which is just ridiculous to me. So it's hard to really engage this on the same level that it's reasoning at, if that makes any sense. All flesh shall perish together. So I was just trying to get through it, because we're almost to Psalms. We'll see how that goes. And man shall turn again unto dust. If now thou hast understanding, hear this, hearken to the voice of my words. Shall even he that hateth right govern? And will thou condemn him that is most just? Is it fit to say to a king, thou art wicked, and to princes, ye are ungodly? How much less to him that accepteth not the persons of princes, nor regardeth the rich more than the poor? For they are all the work of his hands. In a moment they shall die. In a moment shall they die. And the people shall be troubled at midnight and pass away, and the mighty shall be taken away without hand. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. I think one thing that led to sort of a change in how people look at God possibly could have been just how much we've discovered. Because back then, I bet it was way easier to feel important. You know, it's way easier to feel like man was the focus of the universe, you know. But now, I mean, we know there's so much empty space out there. There's so many other amazing organisms. There's geological time. There's just so many things. And maybe this isn't a factor for religious people, I don't know. But for me, it's like I could never feel this important that God would care what I'm doing. Or that really we should have an attitude that we matter that much. I mean, of course, to each other we matter, but I think the feeling that surely, you know, we must be the focus of God and the focus of the universe, I think that comes hand in hand with not understanding that much about the universe. And the more you understand, the more you realize, well, oh, okay, we're just, you know, we're an accident. Or even if you still believe in God, like you don't think we're an accident, it's still staggering to think of all. It should be staggering anyway to think of all the other things going on. I don't know. Maybe for religious people, they don't think that way. Well, of course, it's always hard to lump all religious people in together. But anyway, just a thought I was having. He shall break in pieces mighty men without number. Because this guy talks like, oh, God is going to do all this stuff. Like, he keeps track of everything we do, and he's really interested. And it's like, eh, he's probably not that interested, really, if God existed. Therefore he knoweth their works, and he overturneth them in the night, so that they are destroyed. He striketh them as wicked men in the open side of others. Because they turn back from him, and would not consider any of his ways. So that they cause the cry of the poor to come unto him, and he heareth the cry of the afflicted. When he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? And when he hideth his face, who then can behold him, whether it be done against a nation or against a man only? That the hypocrite reign not, lest the people be ensnared. Surely it is meet to be said unto God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend any more. That which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. Should it be according to thy mind, he will recompense it, whether thou refuse or whether thou choose, and not I. Therefore speak what thou knowest. Let men of understanding tell me, and let a wise man hearken unto me. Job hath spoken without knowledge, and his words were without wisdom. My desire is that Job may be tried unto the end because of his answers for the wicked men. For he addeth rebellion unto his sin, and clappeth his hands among us, multiplieth his words against God. Okay. 35. Oh, good. He's still speaking. Fantastic. Cool. I was hoping it was going to move on. Elihu spake moreover, and it should be parentheses, though we don't know why, because he's already said the same thing enough times, and said, Thinkest thou this to be right? That thou saidest, my righteousness is more than God's. For thou saidest, what advantage will it be unto thee, and what profit shall I have? It's just, yeah, it's all the same thing. God is all powerful, therefore you can't be right. You just can't be. You deserve whatever you get. That's how it goes. And I wish I could have been there, because I could have said, well, I don't care how powerful God is. As I've said before, in my show, Thomas and the Bible, this is what I would have told him. Hey, if you listen to my podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, I forget if I let you guys know my podcast is on Stitcher now. You'd know, gentlemen, Job, Elihu, whoever the F else it is, I already forget, that I think that even though God's all-powerful, the minute he created creatures capable of suffering, he has responsibility to not let them suffer needlessly. So I don't care about this all. Oh, he's all powerful. He knows everything. BS. I don't think he can just create things with the capacity to be hurt all the time and then make things horrible for him, unless he's just a dick. So I reject this. I don't. What would Job have had to do to deserve that punishment? You know, it's sure, maybe give him a slap on the wrist if he does something, but it's not. God created everything in us and everything that led to where we are. So it's his fault. It's not Job's fault. Anyway, that's what I would have said. And then I would have been stoned to death, obviously. I would not have survived long biblical times. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I will answer thee and thy companions with thee. Look in unto the heavens and see. Behold the clouds which are higher than thou. If thou sinnest, what doest thou against him? Or if thy transgressions be multiplied, what doest thou unto him? If thou be righteous, what givest thou him, or what receiveth he of thine hand? Well, I can't give him anything, because he's God. He's God. What am I going to give him? $5? What am I going to give God? It's so stupid. Does he feed off of, you know, good deeds or something? Is he like, yum, good deed flakes. That's what you gave me. How can I give a perfect being something? You can't give him anything. A perfect being doesn't have possessions. It makes no sense. The wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the son of man. By reason of the multitude of oppressions, they make the oppressed to cry. They cry out by the reason of the arm of the Almighty. But none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night, who teacheth us more than the beasts of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven? There they cry, but none giveth answer, because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty regard it. Although thou sayest thou shalt not see him, yet judgment is before him, therefore trust thou in him. But now, because it is not so, he hath visited in his anger, yet he knoweth not it not in great extremity. Therefore doth Job open his mouth in vain. He multiplieth the words without knowledge. Oh my God, he's still going? Okay, that's the end of 35. We're on 36. He's still talking, guys. Elihu's still talking. Despite my attempts, despite my interjections. And this isn't a short chapter, so it appears as though he goes on for a long time. Elihu also proceeded and said, yeah, we get it. Suffer me a little, and I will shew thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar, and will ascribe righteousness to my Maker. For truly my word shall not be false. He that is perfect in knowledge is with thee. Behold, God is almighty, and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not... are we doing this again? God, are we... this really... All right, we're doing this again, guys. We're going through this again. All right. That's what we're doing. That's what Job should have said. All right, are we really doing another repetition of this, huh? Okay. I already said I think God doesn't punish bad people all the time, and he rewards bad people sometimes, and he doesn't reward good people all the time. So now you're going to tell me that that's not true. Again, in repetitive pseudo poetry that's not really that great. All right, we're doing it again. Okay, guys, everyone buckle up. We're doing this again. If they be bound in fetters and be holden in cords of affliction, then he sheweth them their work and their transgressions that they have exceeded. He openeth all... there's a lot of ifs in this. Openeth also their ear to discipline, and commandeth that they return from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they shall not perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. But the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath. They cry when he bindeth them, and in the darkness bind them. They die in youth, and their life is among the unclean. He delivereth the poor in his affliction, and openeth their ears in oppression. Doth my ears deceive me? Even so would he have removed thee out of the strait into a broad place where there is no straitness, and that which should be set on thy table should be full of fatness. But thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold on thee, because there is wrath. Beware lest he take thee. And then I start putting F's in places there aren't, just because there should be. Take thee, I said taketh, away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Will he esteem thy riches? No, not gold. For all, yeah, okay, again, he doesn't want gold. We can't give him gold. Desire not the night when people are cut off in their place. Take heed, regard not iniquity, for this hast chosen thou chosen rather than affliction. Behold, God exalteth by his power. Who teacheth like him? Who hath enjoyed him his way, or who can say thou hast wrought iniquity? Remember that thou magnifiest work which men behold. Every man may see it. Man may behold it afar off. Behold, God is great, and we know him not. Neither can the number of his years be searched out. For he maketh small the drops of water. They pour down rain according to the vapor thereof. That's like a great... that's so funny. Maketh small, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly. So that's like an accomplishment of God. That's kind of cute. That's cute, little Bible. Elihu is saying, like, look how powerful God is. He takes water, which we all know is like a big thing, you know, for example, the ocean and, you know, lakes, and he makes it small. How does he do that? How does he do that, guys? That's seriously what he just said. He maketh small the drops of water. He's getting crazy over the rain. Also, can any understand the spreadings of the clouds or the noise of his tabernacle? Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. Behold, he spreadeth his light upon it and covereth the bottom of the sea. For by them doth he Who giveth the meat in abundance. With clouds he covereth the light, and commandeth it not to shine by the cloud that cometh betwixt. The noise thereof sheweth concerning it, the cattle also concerning the vapor. Okay, that's the end of 36. Okay, still talking. I keep thinking it's going to be anyone else. Anybody? At the end of any chapter, at the end of every chapter, Job must have been like, anyone want to cut him off? We're starting a new chapter here. Someone else want to talk? Or no? Okay, all right. At this also my heart trembleth, and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice, and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it under the whole heaven, and is lightning under the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend, for he saith to the snow, Be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Then the beasts go into dens and remain in their places. Out of the south cometh the whirlwind, and cold out of the north. By the breath of God frost is given. Okay, so he's talking about how great God is, and all he does is point at things, like just everything. Because back then they understood nothing, so it's like everything's a friggin' miracle. Oh, and have you gotten a load of snow? Huh, let me tell you about snow. Well, it's not rain, and it's like cold. How does he do that? How does he do it? I don't know. That's how powerful of God we're talking here. And then he's like, frost is getting, you know how it gets cold? What is that? How does it get cold? There's no way. That's God. That's all God. And then, like, they just assume without God that things would be like a reasonable temperature. But God allows them to become cold. And it is turned round about by his counsels, that they may do whatever he commandeth them upon the face of the world and the earth. He causeth it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Dost thou know when God disposed them and caused the light of his cloud to shine? Dost thou know the balancings of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? How thy garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind. Yeah, how do clothes stay warm, guys? What the? That's God. That's definitely God. Warm clothes. How do they stay warm? There's no way. Hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong and as a molten looking glass? Teach us what we shall say unto him, for we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. Shall it be told him that I speak? If a man speak, surely he be swallowed up. And now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them. Fair weather cometh out of the north, with God is terrible majesty. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment, and in plenty of justice he will not afflict. Men therefore do fear him. He respecteth not any that are wise of heart. All right, on to our last chapter, and it's... Oh, longest one yet. Great. All right, chapter 38. Okay. Okay, guys, this is awesome. Not Elihu. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. So God's going to come down and clear this all up. He's going to clear this all. And said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? So he's not a fan of Elihu, which is good news for me. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Oh, this is now God's coming down and talking trash. He's like, listen, son, my son in my own image. Were you there when I made the earth? Remind me. I've forgotten. Were you there? I don't recall seeing you there. He's getting like this tone of declare if thou understands. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Who laid the cornerstone thereof? There is no cornerstone, thank you very much. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud garment thereof, he's like, did you catch that cloud garment? Yeah, you see that? That's me. I made that. And thick darkness, a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thou proud waves be seen. So he contained the ocean, because somehow the ocean was going to just be infinite, but he decided to put rock or something. It's a weird logic. I don't know how to. Without me, there'd be all ocean. And without me, there'd be all land. Which is it? I mean, I don't know. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days and caused the day spring to know his place? That's funny. Hey, have you been God for a day? Walk a mile in my God shoes, okay? And then we'll talk. Then you'll understand that I need to occasionally let Satan ruin someone's life. Then, you know, that's what he doesn't understand, I guess. I don't know, it's weird. That it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if then thou knowest all. Oh, man. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof, that thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof? He's saying, like, do you know where I keep light and dark, like as a cabinet or something? Because thou wast born, knowest thou it because thou wast then born? Obviously not. Or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into treasures of the snow? Oh, he's bragging about the snow again. Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By that way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth. Who hath divided a watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on earth, when no man is, on the wilderness, wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, to cause the bud of... Job should have said, hey, God, I'm going to stop you right there. I know you don't seem to be able to answer these questions yourself, even though you're all powerful. I'm going to go ahead and stop you. I wasn't there for the beginning of the earth. I don't claim to know any of these things. So the answer to every question that you've been asking for the last 45 minutes is no. I wasn't there. I don't know. So that's... Does that somehow answer the question of why you've made me miserable for no effing reason? Because you know, like, you created the world, you could just go ahead and kill my family, punish me? If that's what this is going toward, then I'm gonna go ahead and say no. This is not right. Hath the rain a father, or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in a season? Again, God, I'm answering no to all of the above. Every question so far I'm going to go ahead and answer no to. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? Nope, can't do that. Canst thou send lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? Lightning always says that. Bam, here I am. Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding of the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom, or who can stay the... So why is he still asking these? Because if he answered like half of them, does that change anything? Or what score does he have to get on this test? Uh-oh, my music's going to kick in. I got to turn it off. I'm going to have to go a little longer than last episode. When the dust groweth into hardness and the clods cleave fast together, wilt thou hunt the prey for the lion or fill the appetite of the young lions? When they couch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait. Who provideth for the raven his food? Probably the raven feeder. I don't know. When his young ones cry unto God, they wander for lack of meat. Yeah, well, but there's a circle here. So you can say you provide food for ravens, but then what's that food? So whatever they're eating, like, you also killed that. So I don't, it's kind of a weird claim to make. Okay, so we're done. So I find this hilarious, as usual. God's coming down just boasting. And I'm sure when we read on, I'm sure this will really affect the people. They'll be like, oh, you're right. Oh, man. Oh, how was I mad for you murdering my innocent family? Oh, I was a fool. I was a fool to be upset about that. Psh, murder whoever you want. God, you created everything. You just can, you know, murder, kill, you know, just wipe out anyone you want. No reason necessary. You can let the devil do it just for fun, like just for some entertainment, because, you know, because you created rocks and stuff. So, yeah, so that's you're right, man. Oh, I'm so foolish to not want my family dead and to have, like, this rotten skin disease thing and to lose all my possessions. Ah, oh, what was I thinking? That was so dumb. That's probably what will come next. Anyway, all right, we're done. As usual, quick plugs. Twitter, at T and the B. Facebook.com/T and the B. I got confused because Jake always says T in the B. Jake Farwarton of the Imaginary Friend Show. We had No Illusions on Atheistically Speaking. If you guys are No Illusions fans, that was great. That was the last two episodes were that. Really good talk. It was fun. So check that out. Write me a review on iTunes, please. And finally, please donate if you have a spare dollar or two for someone or 50 for someone who has put in the time of reading for you and spent a lot of money on stuff. So that would be nice if you can. I'd really appreciate it. Oh, I got everything I need to send out my gifts, which I don't even care if you don't like. I don't care if you weren't wanting it. I don't care. I'm sending the donators, who are fantastic people. I'm sending you Bibles with some nice personal written inscriptions. So you can do whatever you want with them. I don't care, but I'm going to write some nice things. I got a bunch of flat rate boxes to send them in. So I'm going to be picking my top donators. I should have your information from PayPal, but I don't know if it's going to be accurate for everybody. So I might shoot you an email. So those of you who have donated, forgive me, but I'm likely going to send you an email. I hope that doesn't bug you too much to get an email from me. But I might just ask you to confirm your address or something. And yeah, I'll send these out. So thank you very much. And if you donate in a lot, tell you what, if any of you out there donate a nice, healthy donation in the next, like, I'm probably going to do this tomorrow and ship them out Monday, although it's a holiday for me. So if you do it in the next day, maybe you'll get a nice little something special from me. And, you know, I know that's not the main motivation, but yeah, just to throw it out there. If anyone squeezes in a last-minute, 11th-hour nice donation. So thank you guys very much, and I will see you next episode.